What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Just like that, second hour is here. Hot Mike with Hunt and Withrow. Outkick.com/watch. Streaming live at Outkick. You can catch the show on demand there as well, the full show. As far as clips and highlights, head over to our YouTube page. Search out Outkick. We hope you'll subscribe while you're there. Clay Travis joins us as we kick off hour number two. Clay, hope things are well, man.
I'm doing well. It's perfect weather. I forgot that I was supposed to be on at the end of the hour, so I'm walking back from elementary school with my third grader. 70 degrees and sunny.
Nice.
Good spring weather. So I've been out. We have a neighborhood school that I can walk to, so that's not bad. So literally walking back home right now with my third grader.
Which game on your bracket do you feel most certain about?
You know, we just did probably finished, I don't know, 30 minutes ago. Kelly Stewart and I did our bracket breakdown. If I had to only pick one game, I feel good about Auburn blowing out Yale. I feel good about Tennessee blowing out St. Peter's. I like the over in both the Kentucky and Alabama games. I like FAU to win. I like Texas A&M to hit over. I like South Carolina to win outright. I've got eight. I mean, I'm picking every game. We've done this for years now. But those are the eight. I'm giving out four on Thursday and four on Friday.
Clay, I don't understand how any human around our age can grow up in the United States of America and not have ever filled out a bracket, even by accident, at some point in their life.
Yeah.
But your co-host, Buck Sexton, has never filled out a bracket until now?
True. That's what he says. Just genuinely has never been involved in the entire process of March Madness, which is crazy to me too. I was just talking with my third grader. We've got the Travis Family Bracket Challenge with my three boys and Laura and Katie, who now has an assistant. Okay, good. And we were just talking about what's the most valuable thing that you can win. I would argue family bragging rights are at the very top of the list. And so we haven't decided what the prize will be. But last night I said, you know, eternal glory and bragging rights as a member of the Travis family is not a insubstantial prize to compete for. So we're all doing it. I don't remember the first year I did it. The first year I can remember getting it right, I think I was in fifth grade and I picked UNLV to win in 1990 before they lost that memorable game against Duke in 1991 when they were undefeated and I think lost in the Final Four, if I remember correctly,
to
Bobby Hurley,
yep.
Christian Laettner. Those were really great years for college basketball fandom. That's the first year I remember getting it right. I would bet the first time I would have filled out a bracket. I mean, my dad's a diehard sports fan too. I'm sure I did it at, you know, 7 or 8 years old. And then I remember our schools doing it. I mean, maybe I'm crazy about this, but I remember everybody in like fourth grade and fifth grade.
Oh, Clay, they'd bring out the big wheels, the roller on the television, and it would go into school, and we'd watch throughout the day.
We
absolutely. And I remember that Final Four. Duke beat Kansas in the national championship game after beating UNLV in the big upset, and Duke lost by 30 or 40 the year before to UNLV in the national championship game.
Yeah,
I remember those tournaments well.
Yeah, I remember the first title game I remember watching like really well, can recall, was Danny Manning, I think in 1988, if I remember correctly, Kansas won.
Danny and the
Miracles.
I remember
watching that title game. Yeah. And I remember, look, I mean, the roll-in television was a big day. Yeah, you had the cool teacher, 11:15 a.m. Central, first tip. If you were not out of school, and I remember, to my dad's credit, him letting me skip school occasionally to watch Thursday, Friday games if there were teams that we really liked that were going to be playing early. So shout out to all the dads and moms out there that will allow their kids sudden, you know, throat issues or stomach issues that lead to, you know, 14 hours of college basketball on the couch, the necessity. I think I've been saying this for a while. If I could, you know, give a holiday, Thursday, Friday NCAA tournament would be a fabulous couple of days to give everybody off. But yeah, I'm stunned that anybody doesn't fill out a bracket. Or now, given how legal it is, bet in some way on the outcome of the NCAA tournament.
Clay, I mentioned to Chad earlier yesterday, whenever we were discussing, you and Buck discussing the bracket. I witnessed him at his first college football game, which I believe was Ole Miss and Bama.
Yeah, that's right.
You should ask him, if you haven't already, like his experience there compared to his experience with which March Madness and filling out his bracket as he keeps up with it.
Well, what's funny to me about that experience is Buck is a lifelong Republican voter who lived and grew up in New York City. So he's pretty much only surrounded by people who disagree with him politically. And he doesn't even really know the world of, you know, SEC football, where almost everyone would agree with him in a stadium politically.
Yes.
That universe, like, is just totally foreign to him, despite the fact that he has so much in common politically with so many of those people. So I always just think that's kind of interesting. And to never have been to a major college football game is also kind of wild to me to even think about.
Do you have a surprise team making a run to the Final Four?
I have St. Mary's in.
Okay.
And that might be a function of, I was on spring break with the kids last week, and I watched a lot of the West Coast Conference tournament late at night on, I guess it was ESPN. So I watched St. Mary's play two or three, I guess it was three games in a row. And I was really impressed with their overall talent. And so I think the West is kind of wide open. You know, they would play Alabama in the round of 32. And I don't think Alabama's disciplined enough to make a real run because they won't play defense. And UNC, I'm not sold on the ACC strength. So I think they're a little bit of a paper tiger potentially. Arizona hasn't played very well down the stretch. The Pac-12 hasn't been that great. So I think maybe the West is the most wide open of all of the brackets as I see it right now on the eve of the official start of the tournament.
Bama's got to beat Charleston first, which is not going to be easy also to get in that game against St. Mary's. Clay, we've been talking a lot about Caitlin Clark, now going to go pro, play in the WNBA, and the difference between women's college basketball and the WNBA and what kind of impact she's going to have. The WNBA thinks it's going to be a big one because they're trying to renegotiate their television rights package because Caitlin Clark is entering the league. I don't think it's going to matter all that much. It's certainly not going to hurt having Caitlin Clark. What do you think the impact truly will be for her on that league and that product?
I think way less people will care. And the precedent that I would apply here is, I know everybody's like, oh, women's basketball has never been more popular. I kind of disagree. Pat Summitt versus Gino Auriemma used to be a huge story. Like, everybody, that was a, you know, something that could lead SportsCenter back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And there have been a lot of really talented UConn women's players and a lot of really talented Tennessee women's basketball players. And none of them have moved the needle in the WNBA, because what's actually going on there is most people are cheering for the college. And while they love elite level college women's basketball players, they don't really follow them into the pros. So maybe she'll be the exception to what has been a pretty consistent rule, whether it's Candace Parker or, I don't know, Rebecca Lobo back in the day. None of those people really brought substantial audiences with them to the WNBA, because I don't think most people care or even know the WNBA franchises. Now, I think that she'll probably sell a lot of tickets, and I think she's going to go to Indiana. Am I right about that?
Yes.
That's the one that's going to pick her. So I'm sure they're ecstatic about that. I think that's good for her to be in a state that loves basketball anyway. So I think that she'll sell a lot of tickets, and that will have an impact. But in terms of people tuning in big numbers and watching on television, I actually think way more people care about the brands in women's college basketball than they do professional basketball.
By the way, her boyfriend works for the Pacers as part of this. Fran McCaffrey, his son, Connor McCaffrey, played at Iowa for his dad, is her boyfriend. And he is a scout for the Indiana Pacers, which I think is part of this also, and interesting.
You think that's why with that decision, bro?
I think that's maybe one reason why with the number one pick.
Also, be a pretty good bloodline there, I would think, for a basketball player, boy or girl, down the line.
Not since Reed Shepard, but we have a better shooter to be birthed from a couple than those two.
Clay, no doubt. The lawsuit that's filed against the ACC from Clemson, what was your initial reaction to it, and just the legitimacy of the argument they're making, and whether or not they have grounds to point to the grant of rights, given the fact that I guess they just watched the conference take less in the media rights deal that ESPN officially signed yesterday?
Well, the forum shopping is certainly to their favor. I mean, if you're Clemson and you file a lawsuit in Pickens County, that is going to be a pretty good jury if you can ever get a case like this in front of a jury, and or could put political pressure on the ACC. I think it's pretty clear that Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, Virginia, Virginia Tech, NC State, that all of those schools are interested in getting out of the ACC. I believe, and again, I've done a lot of the reading on this. You guys may have it in front of you right now. ESPN has an option on a 9 or 10 year extension with the ACC that I think comes up in 2026.
Okay.
Get one of your staff to look that up and confirm the years for me if they would. I think to a large degree, what this is designed to do is put pressure on ESPN not to grant that extension, which would open up in many ways the landscape for a bunch of these different teams to potentially go elsewhere. So I think that's what much of this is designed to do, even though they're not discussing it publicly, is to start to bring pressure on ESPN. I think it's a unilateral option.
It is. It is. And you're right. It would be 2027 through 2036.
Yeah, I think they have to sign on to it basically in 2026. So I think these lawsuits from Florida State and Clemson are designed to basically send as public of a message as popular as possible to ESPN saying, hey, we want out. Why would that matter? Well, then ESPN can sit back and look and talk to the SEC, and Fox can talk to the Big Ten, and they can try to figure out how would these teams be divvied up in the event that there was some form of free agency starting in 26. And the reason why I bring that up is, much like you saw the Pac-12 implode, I think you could see the ACC implode. And these other conferences, particularly the Big Ten and the SEC, adding the best and most desirable members from the ACC, which could end up saving ESPN money in the long run, because instead of having to pay for the whole conference, they might just have to pay a pro rata share for three or four teams to join the SEC, which would be far less potentially than what they're obligated to pay for the 16-team ACC, or however you want to kind of figure out what those numbers are going to be.
Clay, I don't know what you're up to, but watching these games, you're more than welcome to join us here. We'll have all the screens on here at 6th and Peabody tomorrow.
Are you guys staying for the Tennessee game against St. Peter's at 6th and Peabody?
I'll be around.
I am not, but Hutton will be here. Well, his residency here continues.
I've got to figure out where the Travis kids are going to be, and also, as is always the case, I don't know how this has happened, but I have a pretty busy schedule for work. Somehow my kids are more difficult to schedule than I am. So despite the fact that I have like 20 jobs, somehow I'm more free in the evenings oftentimes than they are. So I got to figure out the Travis boys schedule for the NCAA tournament.
Cool. That sounds good, man.
We'll
enjoy
be watching
it
together in spirit regardless.
That's right.
Wherever we are, I feel like we're always joined at the hip. And spiritually, we'll be one as we watch these games.
Yes.
No doubt. All right, boys. Enjoy the games. Hopefully some of these bets will hit. And good luck to everybody on their brackets.
Yep, let's get rich.
We'll be watching the fade also with you and Kelly. Thanks, Clay.
Yeah, it should be up a little bit later tonight.
Perfect.
All right,
perfect.
See y'all.
Yep, see you. Check out the fade, outkick.com, with Clay and Kelly, who will join us tomorrow here on Hot Mic. We got
story time with Hutton coming up, along with Primary Complaint.
I need story time. I need a couple more details before I lay out how I nearly watched someone die
this past
weekend.
I can't wait to hear about this. I've intentionally not heard because I want my honest reaction.
And so until I get a couple details, some names, I want to confirm the hero of this story. Also, Davey has a dating update.
Primary Complaint.
Dating update.
Dating with Davey.
Timmy B.
Hutton nearly had a Faces of Death moment live in front of him.
Not me.
Not even on VHS. In front of his very eyes. Yeah. and Tim Brando.
Timmy B.
What a hell of a show we have
with
left.
With a crazy Final Four prediction, Timmy B.
Not crazy for him. Crazy for everyone else, though.
That's next here on Hot Mic.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Sixth and Peabody, our location with Yacht Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. Glad you're with us. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow here at outkick.com/watch. We've got Timmy B. Tim Brando coming up in about 10 minutes. More bracket breakdowns.
But Timmy Brackets.
Timmy Brackets. First, though, primary complaint.
It's time to air our top grievance of the week.
You can complain all you want.
My job is so unfulfilling.
Don't run away from your feelings.
It's time for Hot Mike's primary complaint.
Guys, my primary complaint this week is virtually every free agent signing across the NFL this time of year, and it's happened again this year, is beloved. The fan base put them to the side. They're going. Everyone's selling hope. This time of year, the coach, the general manager, the fans, the players, everyone's feeling like they have a shot because their jobs, they're not aligned. They know they've got a gig going into the season. But as far as the reaction from NFL media and just actually those that were breaking down certain player movement, this from Atlanta. Kirk Cousins, who will be 36 by week one, still has to get his surgically repaired Achilles into shape, but otherwise, almost no excuses. I mean, that's a lot there. You're still trying to make it a positive spin. All you knew was that it's in Chicago. If they had just fetched a conditional 6th-round pick for Justin Fields and that was it, and he apparently had something to do with that, you'd assume March had been a disastrous month for Chicago. That is a disastrous decision. And they got a 6th-round pick in return, and they're spending it into the fact that they're getting Caleb Williams and they're finally investing in players. The Browns, they had a pair of nice wins, acquiring and extending wide receiver Jerry Jeudy and a pair of day 3 draft picks and re-signing Za'Darius Smith, not even mentioning what Chad led with today. And finally, in Indianapolis. Have we even talked about the Colts, by the way? Congrats to Chris Ballard for finally utilizing the franchise tag. That's the positive spin in Indianapolis. Can we get back to some critical analysis of NFL players and teams this time of year? That's my primary complaint.
So I've got a PSA for everyone out there. If you're looking to buy someone a gift and you want to go the gift card route, get a gift card from the actual company that you want to give the person something to go shop from. Because if you just get a generic Visa gift card to someone, I'm here to warn you that businesses are unwilling to troubleshoot any problem with that generic Visa gift card. If they swipe it once and that thing doesn't immediately pop up, sorry, it says not detected.
Declined.
And I'm thinking, there's $100 on this Visa gift card that was given to me as a Christmas gift. There's got to be something else we can do. Is there a number you can type in? Can you go the extra mile to charge this Visa gift card? It has gotten so bad that I don't even ask any more questions about it. I think I've charged it twice.
You just throw it away?
I think 5 other times. No, I still have it. There's money on this. There's money on the card. But 5 other times I've tried to have it used. And, it's not detected. And I'm thinking, okay, well, here, just take my normal credit card. Please, take money out of my actual account instead of this gift that I was given by someone through Visa that apparently no card reader can detect. And, I'm sorry, please don't go and try to type in numbers to make it happen. The Starbucks next door to our studio here, which I believe is the sixth circle of hell every time I go in there, certainly the sixth circle of customer service hell in this place. I go yesterday, I get a fancy coffee drink, and I'm thinking, today's a nice day for that. I'll use my Visa gift card. One swipe, not detected, didn't even try. Give that back to me. Let me put in my card and give you no tip. At the end of it, I'll pay my own money, please. If you're going to buy someone a gift card, just get them something. This is not to blast the person who gave me the card. Very, very nice of them. It's to say that no one's going to troubleshoot a generic gift card. Just buy something to the company that you know they're going to go and use. That is my primary complaint.
I actually bought a gift card yesterday for the wedding I've got to go to this weekend, Chad. So a little too late on that one. Fun fact, this wasn't from last week, but you know what you can't buy with a gift card?
More gift cards.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a form of money laundering.
That
I'll find
I did
that
know.
One out. Guys, my primary complaint this week is
maybe you had to serve some time for that.
You just need to go buy a mattress king if you need to money launder.
Virginia basketball. Last night was atrocious. The fact that team got in with the inability to play offense, they set the game back hundreds of years. It's just, 14 points and a half. It's just sad. And, you know, all the momentum around the tournament starting, you get the first four play-in game. I feel like that's a great example as to why we don't need to expand anymore. These teams aren't deserving if that's a deserving team, then there's no point in adding more teams to this equation.
Thank you.
It was just so boring. I just turned the game off. I knew very early on. The only reason you would stay to continue watching that was just to see if they could break 40 by the end. But it was pathetic, and that is my primary complaint.
I great complaint. I agree with it on Virginia because I don't think they were good enough to get in to begin with. I am, though, thoroughly against taking a tournament performance or a playoff performance or any of that as the sign that, oh, that team should not have been in. Because it's all about what happened before. What they did before warrants they should not have been in the tournament, but I'm not going to take that and say, oh, well, they played really bad and couldn't hit anything. This shows it.
But Chad and I have also been
to date. I heard you snicker at the expanding the tournament, and I'm thinking people are going to argue now, like you said, oh, this is why we need St. John's in. This is why we need a bigger tournament field. My argument is, okay, even if you did that, Virginia's still in. So we're watching the team that barely sneaked in. But if other teams got in ahead of them, Indiana State, St. John's, others, if you go to 80, guess who else is still there? And we're watching them. Virginia.
Yeah.
The same team we saw last night.
And the team that should have
so it goes against
arrived
that argument.
In gray Dayton, pissed off for greatness, that everyone said they didn't deserve that spot. You know, that's the other side of it. You've got one side with Indiana State, who in our NIT bracket, which is not looking too good.
No.
We're predicting them to go win it.
They were so pissed off, they nearly shot a hole in the backboard throughout the night. That's how mad they were. Yeah. They were just firing it off the backboard the entire night.
No doubt. Davey?
Yeah?
We need a Davey Hudson dating update, please.
Okay.
We can tie into Let's Get Weird with a headline out of Texas.
I guess I'll start with the dating aspect and then get into the headline. Okay. So
I can't wait for Brando to hear this headline.
I can't wait to hear your segue between the two of these stories.
So
I think they match.
What I will say is
they match.
I did have another day with the girl I was discussing last week, and that went well, and I'm going to continue for at least right now not to bring that one to the table.
But
I'm liking
well.
where that's
continuing. Okay,
yes.
Good.
So the other one, this is probably the more entertaining one. There's a girl that I was telling you all about. I couldn't confirm if she was real initially. I later found out she is real. It was not a scam. But there might be.
This was not Nev from the TV show Catfish.
Correct. I was not being catfished. I've had a full on conversation via video chat with this young woman at this point. But the catch is, I'm pretty sure she's just looking for a green card.
Can you describe the accent this woman had?
Is she Eastern
European? I'll say no. She is from the country of Aruba.
Interesting.
Little Latino flair in there. Yes.
Okay.
I hear Aruba's very nice. Why is she trying to get out of Aruba? What's her situation?
I would say for the locals, it's like it's probably not as nice for the people that are going there on
the tourism industry.
No,
but she's tired of cleaning up hotel rooms and people who visit that have a nice time.
Sam Morrell once had a really good joke about, you know, like, why do you struggle with dating? He's like, well, I'm kind of like the Dominican Republic. I'm really fun for 3 days, but then once you stay around and you get into the heart there, you learn there's some big issues going on.
the au pair, I'm just tying this in. But the reason why I asked if she's an au pair, my cousin, Chad knows Heath, who's been in here with us, he had an au pair from Germany. She got here, Catherine was her name, got here, got married, got her card.
She's in the tourism industry.
She was here just to get married.
Yeah.
I had a friend.
As fast as possible.
I wouldn't call him a friend. I'd say an acquaintance.
Taney's looking around saying, does Outkick allow interns?
He made...
au pairs?
He married a Chinese woman for $20,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
$20,000.
So she could get over here.
What amount of money? So this woman is attractive, right?
Very
this,
much
this
so.
This a Reuben woman?
Yes.
what amount of money would it take for you to marry her just to get her a green card? I'm saying just on one video chat. Keep in mind, like, the annulment or whatever process is going to have to happen eventually
it's more
is
about,
also going to cost you money.
It's more of, I mean...
Does she speak during a film?
That is illegal.
Yeah. Where does she want to go to dinner?
And what's now we're putting it on the Dune 2 popcorn
like,
bucket?
The best thing to do with she when you want to commit nuggets. A crime is not voice that you've committed to that crime, especially on something right. that is being streamed for anyone and everyone to watch
I'm just
current moment.
Hypothetically, how much money would it take?
A year's rent. So
okay,
but
that's fair.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he doesn't want
to
say
Davey's yet to show us this woman.
I will show you.
You don't have to show her on air.
Well, no, I can pull her up on.
May not be able to see her in Texas
next break.
That's true.
That's so okay. Tim's coming on next, and yeah, he's probably going to hear this. This is a weird segue into it.
I mentioned he was going to wonder what this headline's about when he joined.
The only reason I'm bringing this up is because I noticed VPNs were surging.
Tim's going to get ready to hang up right now. Three.
Texas.
Two.
And I was like, Tim, why on earth is VPN just trending so much in the state of Texas?
It's trending hard.
Well, the reason it's trending is because Pornhub has been shut down in Texas, so people have been looking for a VPN. That way they can actually access Pornhub within that state.
There you go.
Yes.
And I don't know what else. I mean, you wouldn't even try to go to a different site, I guess. You'd just have to download something on your computer.
People don't want
to
pay, you know?
Let's say hello to Timmy B, Tim Brando. Tim, hope things are well.
Well, welcome. You know, I'm enlightened every time I come home with you guys. Just never.
We're here to educate. Tim. What can we say?
Not quite like this in the green room while I'm waiting, but it is still enlightenment. Okay, so.
Go
get him, Davey.
Yeah.
Stay on top of it.
We're rooting you on, Davey. That's everybody's right. rooting you on.
Stay on top of it.
Right. The ball is tipped.
Yeah.
We said, Chad called you Timmy Brackets earlier. I hope you're okay with that name instead of Timmy B today.
Hey, Tim, I don't know. Does Lenardi have a patent on that? He might. I'm not sure.
Tim, I don't often know how much I associate broadcasters with certain events until they're not there.
Right.
You've got a long history with the NCAA tournament and being a part of that. But I was struck on Sunday night when that selection show started and Greg Gumbel wasn't there. And I know they made the announcement he's dealing with a family health emergency. But when I heard, I think it was Adam Zucker was the one who hosted. Yep. When I heard a different voice, it was startling to me because – my life has been spent watching that show and hearing the voice of Greg Gumbel, and that's the official entree into March Madness in the NCAA tournament. I'm sure you probably feel the same way when it comes to certain broadcasters.
Yeah, and that's honestly, I really feel horrible. I hope and I wish Greg and his family all the best. I've known him a long time. In fact, our careers, Greg is probably 7 years older than me, I think. I think that's right. And when I moved to Connecticut to go to work at ESPN full time, when they hired me in 1986, I was going to be calling games. And I didn't know at the time I was going to be the original host of Game Day, but they had that in mind, too. I'd been hired in November, moved up there in December. So at the end of the season, but I worked freelancing for a couple of years with ESPN while living in Baton Rouge. But when they made room for me to become a full-timer, I didn't know this, but the guy that I was replacing as a sports center anchor was Greg. Greg was leaving to go to work at Madison Square Garden Network in New York. And in those days, remember, cable had not really been, ESPN had not been cleared in a lot of major cities, including New York and most major cities. It was the Rust Belt and the Sun Belt in that area. So he had an opportunity to go to MSG and get into the New York market, which helped him get to NBC eventually. But Greg was the guy I replaced. And then when I went to CBS, he had already been at NBC for quite a while. And then when NBC lost the NFL and CBS picked up that AFC package, he came back over to CBS where he had been briefly, I think, after he had left ESPN. And I was already there. I'd been at CBS since 96. And that was also the same year that I was hosting college football. I always hosted some, basketball at CBS, but I never did host the tournament because I wanted to call games. And I was calling games in the NCAAs from 96 until 2013. So it was a tremendous run for me. And a couple of those years, I did do the regional finals. But like a few things happened with the rosters of announcers. Okay, when we got the NFL back, that meant here comes Dick Enberg over from NBC. Here comes Vern Lundquist, who had left and was doing games on Turner. And so I got shipped back down to the first weekend only. But it was that's just the nature of the beast. I'm asked often. I even get it at the Big East tournament this past week. So, Tim, where are you going? You know, what region are you going to be in? I've been doing because there's so many games on and everybody doesn't watch every game. They just naturally assume, well, I mean, RAF does both. Why couldn't you do? But I haven't done the NCAA since 2013. So this is my 11th year not to do it. And yet I think a lot of people believe that I still am.
Well, I mean, we wish you were. I mean, let's just say that. I mean, we're glad you're
with us. That's nice of you.
Yeah, I mean, the voice of college athletics for sure. Some just popped to mind. Yours is one of them, Tim. Big East, you saw them at the tournament. The big three that didn't get in. What did you think when you saw what happened with the bracket and the case that could be made for the conference that had some really good teams and fought throughout the season against one another?
Right. Well, I really defended the committee earlier this week after the Sunday selection show, even with Patino's criticism and other criticism that was being leveled by a lot of the media in the Northeast, because they knew how great the league was. But truthfully, this was sort of a once-in-a-lifetime bid-stealing conference tournament week. Normally, one or two teams maybe pull off these unthinkable upsets and win five games in 5 days. In Oregon's case, you know, Dana Altman has always had a lot of success come this time of year. So I guess maybe I'm not as shocked with what Oregon did as I was with what Keats did at NC State. But, I mean, that hadn't happened in that league in the ACC since I was there with Vitale when Valvano went on an unbelievable run in Landover, Maryland in 1987. He won a double overtime game against Wake Forest. And then the next day, I did all the way up until the finals. And then Al McGuire and Dick Enberg would come in at NBC and do it. But I had all those games. Virginia, we had two back-to-back semifinal games between Virginia and North Carolina and NC State and Wake. Both games went into double OT in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, having to win the tournament, just as they had to win it in 83, Valvano did it again in 87. That was pretty much their last run. So I was defending the committee a little against a lot of the pushback that was coming. The bottom line is all three of those teams, Seton Hall, Providence, and St. John's, had gone through, you know, roller coaster rides where they were on the bubble, inside the bubble, or first four out of the bubble by just about every bracketologist's view, whether you were listening to DeCourcy or you were listening to Jerry Palm or Lenardi, they all had them right around there. So you were in peril if there were going to be multiple bids stolen. And we had five. You know, when the committee chair came out and said five in his interview, I thought, well, okay, there's really not a lot you can do there. But after last night's Virginia-Colorado State debacle, and that was a debacle, as much as I like UVA and think the world of Tony Bennett, that team's metrics didn't add up to a lot of those teams that I just mentioned.
Yep.
Both the teams in the Big East, as well as Indiana State, who was a 27 in the net and couldn't get in. And Colorado State was representing a league that was better than the ACC, the Mountain West, and you got six teams in. People in the Northeast were pissed about that. I was like, no, that league is good. But the committee also gave them terrible seeds. I mean, Utah State, Boise State, in my view, they all deserve better than they got. And Colorado State certainly did need to be playing in that game against a Virginia team that, frankly, was a mistake as being an at-large entry, given all the other teams that were out there. So I think some of the criticism is warranted. But I'll tell you the bottom line to all this, fellas. You know what the bottom line is? The moment that happened, and you saw what happened with Virginia last night, that's only going to pump up the volume to go to 80 teams. You're going to see expansion to 80. You can almost book it, guarantee it. I don't necessarily want to see it. I'm sure a lot of other people like me, purists, feel the same way.
Yep.
But I guarantee you the coaches are going to be mounting quite a charge in the offseason, and their ADs will as well. And going to 80, I think it's not a question of if. I think it's a question of when. I think when is next year.
Tim Brando, Timmy Brackett's with us here on Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow at outkick.com/watch. So you mentioned the seeding here. UConn, just stick with the Big East. UConn's has a one. Marquette has a two. Creighton a three. What do you make of the bracket, the path for those three from the Big East, given how much you know about both teams, seeing them up close and personal?
I cannot bury the lead. I'm on Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. I cannot bury the lead, okay? My Final Four, okay? All three Big East teams get there. All
wow.
three.
Wow. The I only three play. Big East teams in the tournament, all going to the Final
only
Four.
Three, yeah, well, I think they're going. And I'm not saying it because I'm a homer. I'm not saying it because they gave me a wonderful, well,
they are three,
you know,
of the top 10 seeds.
Career-oriented award last week. I'm not a house boy yeah. for Val Ackerman or John Paquette or anybody in their office, okay? I just like the matchups. Now, understand this. When it comes to picking the NCAA tournament, the last time I had one of these win me any cash was when I put the ESPN bracket for cash to bed, winning it in 95 when UCLA cut the nets down and beat Arkansas. I actually picked that final, and it got out in Rudy Martsky's column. I think he overheard Mike Tirico in the lobby of the hotel at the Final Four saying, "Can you believe Brando won that? He doesn't even work here anymore." I had been gone from ESPN for a year, but Howie Schwab, the Schwab, was running that pool, and I won it. And it was, you know, at the time, some significant cash. And when that got put in the column that Martsky wrote, let's just say it didn't take long for the overlords of Cap City's leadership, which I don't think it was Disney yet. I think it was still Cap City's, to put out a memo: we will no longer have a bracket for cash at ESPN. I ended it. I effectively ended it. I think they still did brackets, but you won, I don't know, a bicycle or maybe a trip to Disney. I don't know, but it wasn't for cash. So primarily when it comes to these, you're probably better talking to somebody that's picking teams based on good-looking coaches versus not good-looking coaches, or uniforms that you like, preferably to the others, all right? So the more you know, the more you can screw this up. I'll give you that caveat. But I really believe that all three of these teams got great draws. Now, so kudos to the committee for not dropping Marquette off the two line, for keeping Creighton as a three, because Creighton got bounced in the quarterfinals and didn't look good in the Big East tournament. And, of course, UConn, even though they got a one, the overall one, I would tell you that I think they've got a harder road to getting to Arizona than either Marquette or Creighton, okay? Four conference tournament champions they got to deal with on their side of the bracket. I just think they're good enough that it really doesn't matter. So I like them, and I think Arizona is the only team that can really play with UConn and have a great chance of beating UConn in the championship. But I think that they are on the other side, same side of the bracket as UConn. So they would play in the semifinals, not the finals. And those are my four teams.
Yeah, my 8-year-old daughter will have a better bracket than me, much like you, Tim, when it's all said
Mickey
and done.
Mascots.
No doubt about that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Two teams in the same region, in the Midwest region, two coaches who are undoubtedly great coaches, but have their own history in the NCAA tournament. It's not always great. I'm talking about Purdue and Tennessee, the one and two seed in that tournament. And, Tim, I'm fascinated to see how those players and how those two coaches respond when adversity hits. I don't know if it's going to be in round one or round two or the Sweet 16, but how do those groups respond? Because on paper, both Purdue and Tennessee are teams that could cut down the nets in Phoenix.
Yeah, well, honestly, I think Tennessee is in trouble when they get Colorado State. Okay. I think Colorado State is going to give them trouble.
When everyone's pointing to Texas, right? That's the Rick Barnes matchup with Tennessee and Texas. But you're right. Colorado State looks very good. And
Colorado
they did last
State
night.
Is a problem. They're a problem. And I've got issues with both Tennessee and Houston, okay, in the NCAAs because of the confidence being shaken by getting blown out in their conference tournaments. I mean, Houston delivered a 30-point blowout to Kansas a few weeks ago, which made people go, huh? You know, and granted, Kansas was without McCullough, without Dickinson, but still, beating Kansas by 30 is kind of jaw-dropping. Well, for them to get blown out the way they did, okay, in their conference tournament, I mean, Iowa State just dismantled them, all right? So Houston's got to find a way. And look, Shedd is their guy. Defense travels. I get all that. I think Houston, though, is going to – I think they're a very vulnerable team. I think they're a very vulnerable team on their side of the bracket. And they're going to be upsets early, fellas. I got 3-12 seeds getting to the Sweet 16. Three. So I think that there will be problems for a lot of heavyweights that could get knocked out, and I think Tennessee is one of those. Dalton Kadek is the player that can carry a team, but you saw what happened in the SEC tournament when he had a bad shooting game.
Yep,
they were exposed. They were exposed. They suddenly looked like one of Rick's teams that would go 7, 8, 9 minutes without scoring when he was at the other UT, when he was in Austin. So I just don't like the draw for either of those teams. I think Houston and Tennessee, one is a one seed, the other is a two. I just believe Creighton is the team out of that region that has the best chance of beating Purdue. And the reason I say that is because they've got the rim runner that can go with Edie. Ryan Kaltbrenner can play 37 minutes. He's the defensive player of the year in the Big East. He's a shot blocker. He can also score. He can bring Edie away from the basket. And once that happens, that allows Trey Alexander, it allows Farabello, it comes off the bench, it allows Ashworth, it allows all of that talent that can score for Creighton to get inside the painted area if they're not making three. So I think Creighton is the perfect team to match up with and beat Matt Painter. And frankly, I love Purdue. I've seen them a couple of times this year.
Me too.
And I think that they have, and I think I may have said to you, and Lance Jones and Braden Smith, they've got the two players at the spots that they needed to finally crack the code, get away from the big upsets, and get to a Final Four. If they were without Creighton in that region, I would pick them, but they're not. They got to play them. And when I look at Houston, I see Marquette in that region. Houston doesn't have a big that they have to worry about. Oso Iguodaro can run that pick and roll with Kolick, and they can get it done. They've just seen Cam Jones take games over while Kolick was gone. They won a lot of games without Tyler Kolick. Okay, they didn't win the last one with UConn, but I don't know that they would have beaten UConn with Kolick. I mean, he had two opportunities, and it didn't happen before. So I just think that Marquette is in a great position with their draw, as is Creighton.
He's Timmy Brackets. Tim Brando has been our guest.
He always brings it.
Just real quick, is it UConn or is it a different Big East team you have winning the championship?
I got UConn winning
okay.
it all.
Okay.
90-86 in the final. I think they'll get Creighton, who will beat Marquette on their side of the bracket. I think Arizona, although they'll play strong against UConn, I don't think they can get it done. And here are my 12s, okay? James Madison, they're going to take down Wisconsin. I think they can take down Duke in the next round. The other 12 is the Fighting Will Wades of my strong damn offer McNeese State Cowboys.
Let's go.
Okay. Perfect team for them to play is Gonzaga. I think they can Mark Few's style of play is going to enable that very athletic team down to the Southland Conference to get it done. And the other team is Grand Canyon College. Vanderbilt will rue the day that they let Bryce Drew go so quickly. He's got a hell of a team at Grand Canyon. They played a representative schedule, and I think that they will win their game. And I think they'll beat Alabama in the round number 2 to get to the Sweet 16.
And to quote Will Wade, that was a strong-ass segment from our guy, Timmy Brackets, right there. Tim, thank you so much. May we all win this year with our brackets. Probably not.
All the best. And thank you. And thank you, Danny Hudson, for that insight into what's going on that nasty internet.
Yeah. There you go.
The Dark Web Report with Davey Hudson.
Internet Minute with Davey Hudson, yes. Thanks, Tim.
See ya.
All right, bye-bye.
Some big news as we wrap up. This report from the Los Angeles Times. Shohei Ohtani, the global face of baseball, the Babe Ruth of our time. His longtime interpreter has been fired by the Los Angeles Dodgers, being accused of theft. It's supposed to be reported in the millions of dollars, and it's tied to gambling. That's the accusation. This is a federal investigation. So Ohtani's legal team reportedly claimed that Mizuhara, is his last name, used the two-way phenom's funds to place bets with allegedly an illegal bookmaker who is currently under federal investigation. So that's how they've tied it back. And I have said this, I have harped on this, going through the NFL, the policy for sports betting on these apps, on how they suspend for six games, full season, all this. What we apparently haven't seen is a Major League Baseball player
ever place a bet,
ever place online. A bet on these apps. But this would go back to a bookmaker who is under federal investigation. Now, this is the example I was pointing to, because Major League Baseball can't suspend players the way the NFL does, because if they do, Pete Rose is reinstated immediately. And if you have Ohtani doing this and is somehow connected back, again, we don't know any detail other than what's other outlets can post.
He could have no knowledge of this for all we know.
Oh, and again, they fired the interpreter based on allegations of theft. So in this case, he would not have any knowledge. But from the Times, in a statement, the West Hollywood law firm, Burke Brettler, said, quote, "In the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft, and we are turning the matter over to authorities." So now authorities will do the back channeling here. It's a story to watch just because of the magnitude of how baseball would treat gambling compared to the NFL.
And we will get a lot more info on this and go in depth on it tomorrow if there is any type of tie-in to Shohei Ohtani, which that's going to be the big story with all of this, if there is. And we don't know that there is or not as of now.
Right, but we do know that the interpreter fired by the Dodgers.
Yep.
Tomorrow, the ball is tipped.
Yes, it is.
Can't wait. We'll be here for you.
Sleep tight, everyone.
4 p.m. Eastern, right here at outkick.com/watch. We'll have you covered on all the games. We'll certainly be covering this story with Shohei Ohtani. And, Chad,
the greatest single sporting event in our country.
It's here.
Starts tomorrow.
The madness
officially starts tomorrow with that first Thursday of the tournament.
Join us here for Hot
Sleep tight, everyone. Good night.